Amen. You pray God use him tonight. Amen.
Bless you, Brother High. I appreciate it. Always a privilege to be at Westside Baptist Church. And I appreciate the goodness of the Lord allowing us to be able to preach his word. Not worthy to do that, but I'm thankful he's given me that precious privilege and that calling in my life. I would hate to think that I would ever get messed up and get put on a shelf. Because I know that calling is without repentance. I know that burning would still be in my heart. That's what Brother Hyde preached on up there Wednesday, about that fire being set up in your bones. And I've been there. Amen. And I'm thankful that the Lord puts that fire in you. Amen. And he lets that fire build up to the point that fire's got to come out. And when that fire comes out, it can do a couple of different things. Amen. And I hope tonight that the fire will come out, and I hope it'll burn off the dross. Amen. And we'll all pull a little closer to God. Amen. With the Lord's help. Colossians chapter number 3 tonight in the Word of God. Colossians chapter number 3. Boy, God did bless us in the meeting, and I appreciate the goodness of God and the help that He gave us. And I trust the Lord to help us tonight. My daughter said we had to be out by 8 o'clock, so I'll try to get done by then. Amen. No, she didn't. Trust me. She's done got spoiled to being here. Let me just leave it at that. Amen. Amen. But I do appreciate the goodness of God. And I do enjoy getting to come down, spend a little time with them. And I especially enjoy spending a little time with John when I get to beat him. Amen. But when he wins, it ain't so enjoyable. But it's all right. Amen. Colossians chapter number 3 tonight. I'm not going to be able to take the time seriously to try to bring you up to speed with where I've been. The Lord been dealing my heart, and I've been preaching out of this chapter now for about 4 weeks. And I thought I was going to finish it up today, and I didn't even get done with all of the subpoints under the first point. And so with the Lord's help tonight, I just want to try to touch on a little bit what I touched on this morning and trust the Lord to bless your heart and help you from the Word of God. That's what it's all about. What I say, hopefully it will sink in. But the Word of God is what does the work. Amen. So Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 18 tonight. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 18. The Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, Lord, tonight, you know we stand in need of thee, as was read in the Sunday school opening this morning. Lord, without you, we can do nothing. And I pray, dear God, you'd touch me, thy servant, tonight. Help me to say the words that need to be said. Lord, may the Holy Ghost of God direct each word and of God down into the joints and the marrow, Lord, of the people of God, and may it do the work that you desire for it to do. I pray, Lord, that you would touch and help us all to take heed to the Scriptures tonight. And, Lord, even in our faults and our shortcomings, Lord, in these areas, may we see where they are. And may we, Lord, work in those areas. And, God, may you help us to come to that place that you would have us to be. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for all you do. Now, bless your people tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I don't know about you, but I've always been one that hated for somebody to start telling a story and stop. So I'm going to give you the quickest outline tonight that I've ever given. But I'm going to come back and preach what the Lord's got on my heart for you tonight. All right? But in this one point, I'm not going back and dealing with all the first verses down through verse number 17. But in this thought tonight, I'm dealing with the duty or service of a Christian. I entitled this chapter, The Christian Life. It deals with our walk. It deals with our talk. It deals with our affections. And I cannot, honestly, I cannot deal with everything to bring you up to speed tonight with where I was this morning. But I believe the message tonight is a message in itself that will be a great help to us if we'll take heed to the Word of God. I found in these verses, 18 through 25, I found three things primarily that stuck out to me. I found personages, and there's five of those. I found places, and there's two of those. And I found payments, and there's two of those. All these things deal with our duty or service as a Christian in the work of God. And so these five, or let me just back up and go backwards for just a moment tonight. That payment is found in verses 24 and 25. We find that the payment for our duty or our service comes from the Lord. We find that He says, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. That's dealing with, amen, the fact of how we're going to receive a reward for what we've done right. In verse 25, He talks about how he that doeth wrong, ye that do wrong, how you're going to receive, the Bible says, for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. God has plainly said that He is not going to have a respect of persons. If you're doing right, you're going to receive a reward for what you've done right. And if you're doing wrong, you're going to receive that just recompense for doing that wrong. And then in the prior verses of that, in verse number 23 and really it's 18 through 23, we find the two places. We find that God expects us to be a Christian in the public place. And we find that God expects us to be the Christian that we ought to be in the private place. That's where most people don't. Most people don't mind proclaiming God and dressing right and looking right and talking about the things of God when they're out in public with other people. But when they're at home, they don't mind doing things that are wrong, that still this Bible teaches. Amen. It's not right whether you be in private, whether you be in public. Our life as a Christian are to display Christianity. You are not a Christian just because you're saved. You become a Christian because you become Christ-like. Amen. Yes. And I don't think you'll find in any time of Christ's life or while He walked on this earth that He wasn't a Christian. Amen. He was the same no matter where He was, right? And that's the way we ought to be. Now tonight, with the Lord's help, in verses 18 through 23, I know I won't get to deal with all these, so let me just give you the five personages, and then we'll start with the first one and head on, amen, down the road with it. But we see that wives are mentioned in verse number 18. We see that husbands are mentioned in verse number 19. We see that children are mentioned in verse number 20. In verse number 21, amen, we see that fathers are mentioned. And then in verses 22 and 23, we find that He refers to the servants. Amen. Five different personages. In other words, characteristics or positions or roles that people play in their life. Now, I want to say something real quick, ladies. You help me out a little bit, all right? The first point will be to you, but you help me out a little bit because I'm telling you, the men get 2 points. Y'all listening? Amen. Wives got one, but the Lord addressed the husbands and the fathers. Amen. So we get the double. Amen. But I try to be fair, I try to be equal, and I try to preach what thus saith the Lord. But He tells us here, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. So the first duty and first personage that we're looking at tonight is the wife. What is the duty of the wife? I don't have time to go in and preach all these things. I've got a bunch of scriptures listed in here that I could run to tonight and read to you. A lot of people misinterpret a lot of scriptures about the women in the church and about what their role are, about what the wives at home and about how their role is carried out at home. Amen. And a lot of men treat their wives like they're a doormat and they don't really show their wives the love and affection that they ought to show. But I'll get to that more in just a minute. But wives, you need to remember your place. You ought to submit yourself unto your husband. God has an order. We're going to read it in a minute. But God has an order. And God has never put the woman over the man. Never. Amen. So if you'll help me tonight, I'll bust us men's hide, amen, in just a little bit, all right? But the Bible says in 1 Peter 3, I'm not going back to Genesis, Esther, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians. Right now, I'll hit some Ephesians later, but Titus and Timothy as well. But I want you to look with me, if you would, in 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3, the Bible says, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wise. Do you realize you being obedient to your husband, amen, will put a witness, a testament to them of the things of God if you'll obey God and obey them in the word of the Lord? That is the only, can I say, way that you can display an authority, if you please, about your husband. God has given you a promise that if you'll obey your husband and you'll do it right in the Word of God, that you can win that husband, amen, by your chaste conversation. That's the book. Amen. Plain and simple. He said that they may be won by the conversation of the wise. While they behold your chaste conversation, what did he say? Coupled with fear. That is a reverence. That is a respect to your husband and obedience to your husband. Now, if your husband tells you to disobey the things of God, then you have the right to say, no, I can't go against God. But you better make sure he understands it's the Word of God. Amen. Notice here in verse number 3, he said, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. We got too many women today that want to dress up for everybody else but their husband. Amen. We got too many women today that they'll dress up and the other fellas down the road somewhere down along the line, whether it be the workforce or whatever it may be, whisper some sweet nothings to them. Amen. And before you know it, they're dressing up a little more. They're perfuming a little more. They're fixing their hair a little more. Amen. To get that attention from that other man. But the Bible says that your adorning ought not be that of the outward and put it on the gold and put it on the apparel. But notice what he said, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Now, he didn't make a mistake there. The Holy Ghost is a representation of a masculine, a man. Amen. God is not a woman tonight. Amen. And God doesn't expect a woman to be a man. He made her a woman. And he expects a man to be a man. He didn't make him a woman. Amen. And if you got some feminine ways about you, you need to figure out what they are and you need to become a little more masculine about it. Amen. But he said, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. That is the Holy Ghost that lives inside of you. He said, that's what people need to see as your adorning. Amen. And he said, in that which is not corruptible. In other words, the mannerisms of your life are not bringing forth corruption out of your life, but rather bringing forth good fruit. Amen. He said, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. There's not too many women that have a meek and quiet spirit. Again, I'm not referring to the woman as a doormat. I'm not referring to the fact that the woman cannot speak to somebody else. I'm not saying anything about that. But what I am telling you is, having a meek and quiet spirit, the book of Proverbs talks about that loud and stubborn and rebellious woman, and she is not one to have around. Amen. It do you all good. Amen. I'll get on these men just a minute, but it'll do you all good. Amen. To have that meek and quiet spirit. That is what makes you, can I say, pleasing unto the Lord or attractive to the Lord. Look what he said, which is in the sight of God of great price. You want God to think well of you. You want God to think highly of you. You want God to favor you. You want God to bless you and give you benefits beyond your imagination. You have that quiet and meek spirit. And God said, you are of great price. He said, you're worth something. See, too many times, women do feel inferior. And they do feel like people don't want them to have a rightful place. And they get out of place. But God says, if you'll stay in your place, in my eyes, you'll be of great price. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm coming to the place in my life. I used to, and I still want people to like me. That's a natural thing. Paul, I can show you scriptures where Paul said that. I want people to like me. I want to have friends. But I'm getting to the place in my life that I realize they're getting fewer and farther in between. And as long as the Lord stands with me, as Paul put in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, then I'm not going to worry too much about everybody else. If I can please Him, amen, the Bible says He can even make my enemies to be at peace with me. Amen. And that's what we ought to be looking for. Amen. Notice He said, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also. Let me just stress that. Holy women. Not worldly women. Holy women, amen, also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. What made them holy? According to that scripture, they were in subjection to their own husbands, amen. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. All right, ladies, you can breathe now, that sigh of relief. Husbands, your turn. My turn. My wife's already informed me, and my youngest daughter's already informed me, I'm going to have to pick up some slack where I've been slacking. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. I didn't say I've arrived, but I do work on it some. Amen. Not as much as she wants me to, but I work on it some. Amen. Too many times, husbands, we do get that authority about us and that way about us that we don't feel like the wife is of importance. But I want to suggest this to you. Go and read your Bible and find out where God said that it was not good. Everything that God had made, He saw and said it was good. But when God looked upon Adam and saw that he was alone, He said it is not good that man should be alone. And He created for him a helpmeet. Amen. Amen. Now I want you to notice here what the Bible says. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. That don't necessarily mean you have an hatred and ill spirit in that manner of bitterness. But it means that you're not exalting them. You're not encouraging them. You're not giving them what they need as your wife. When you are bitter against them, you don't do anything to help them, but rather you expect them to do everything to help you. Amen. Can I just back up just a moment and say that when Abraham told Sarah to go and prepare that meal for the angel of God, which was God Himself, that came down and was going to eat with Abraham and reveal things to Abraham. Amen. Abraham was the one that went out and got the kid. Sarah prepared the meal, but Abraham done his part. I'm afraid too many times we husbands expect the wives to do everything. What part are we going to do? Boy, it got real quiet then. I'm glad I'm packing. Praise God. Amen. Husbands, what are we going to do? Now, I learned a long time ago, she's a great cook, and I'm going to stay out of the kitchen.
Yep.
Amen. But I'll go out and make the money, and I'll let her get the groceries. Amen. Let them fix her, and I'll eat them. I'll do my part. Amen. Some of you men say amen right there. But said, husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. I want you to look. I'm not going to go back to Proverbs 5, 18 and 19. That gets a little bit personal. But fellas, go home and read it. Your wife ought to be your wife to satisfaction.
Amen.
Amen. You ought to not be interested in looking at another.
Yeah.
Amen. Ecclesiastes 9:9 talks about the wife of your youth and basically how she ought to remain the wife of your youth. And I used a man in our church as an illustration this morning, but he has a wife in a facility that has Alzheimer's, and I believe sometimes she really does recognize who he is. But I'm telling you, when he talks about her, his face begins to glow, his eyes begin to light up. Amen. When he begins to think about her, I'm talking about in a good, positive manner, that nothing is going wrong with her in the facility. And when he goes to see her, it's just like they were 20, 21 years of age again. Amen. And he has never lost the love of his life. Never. I wonder how many of us men have. See, in our day and time, I'm trying to hurry. I want to get through this point if I can. But I'm telling you, in our day and time, we've got the motto, because that's the motto of the world. Well, if we don't like them, we'll get rid of them and get another one. This Bible still is against the putting away, the divorce, and the remarriage. It's still against all that. If that has happened in your life, that doesn't mean God's not forgiving you. If you've asked for forgiveness, that doesn't make you a second-rate person in God's eyes. But it is still wrong according to the Word of God. If you're going into a marriage thinking that, well, if this don't work out, I can go get me another one, best thing you can do is stay single. Amen. Amen. You make your bed hard, you lay in it. That's the cliche I was told. Amen. You don't just give up. You don't just quit. You just don't go chasing after another. Amen. And when you said I do, you said I'm done.
Amen.
Amen. Well, he just ain't what he was when I first met him. Well, you might not be what you was when he first met you either.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. I told him this morning, I've gotten older. I've gotten grayer. Amen. And my belly got bigger and my muscles got smaller. Amen. I've changed a lot from the time she saw me. And I'll say I'm still the love of her life. I don't know that, but you can ask her, amen, if you want to. Maybe she'll say yes, amen. But what I am saying to you is this, I don't see her out chasing after a bunch of others, amen. The job that I have, I've had to deal with some situations like that, and I won't go into details, but I'll just tell you plainly that this is one particular illustration that I said to this person. I said, she's not my old lady, she's my wife, and I love her, and I ain't looking for another.
Amen.
Amen. So she didn't speak to me for the rest of the 35-minute ride into town and the 45-minute ride back to her house to drop her off.
Right.
Amen. You put them in their place. But see, our problem is, fellas, listen to me. Our problem is we like it when that other woman talks to us a little bit. We like it when they say, oh, you're so sweet. You're so nice. Well, you say, my wife don't tell me that. Well, maybe if you talked to her and treated her like you did that other woman down there on the job, she might.
Yeah.
Amen. Mine fixes me my coffee every morning and brings it to me. Fixes my supper every night. And if we're not eating at the table, brings it to me, sitting in my recliner. She takes good care of me. She takes better care of me than I take of her in that sense of the word. I promise you. Amen. So why should I be stupid and look for another? Because they ain't going to do that good. I got her, amen, we started dating when she was 15 years old, and I raised her the way that she is, so I'm doing pretty good right now. Amen. I don't want another. Amen. I'm going to be in trouble after this service is over, I can tell you that. Husbands, love your wives. It might be a long walk home. Amen. Husbands, love your wives. Ephesians chapter number 5. Let me just read this and make a few comments and I'll close out tonight. Ephesians chapter number 5. I'm not going to deal with the children and then the fathers and then the servants. But let's finish up with the husbands here. Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. And he begins again with the wives. It all goes together, church. It all goes together. Say, well, preacher, I'm not married. I ain't even old enough to get married. Well, you better consider these things before you go looking. May I? Can I have a little bit of liberty to talk just a minute? Fellas, you ain't but 13 or 14. You got a long time yet. And he ain't even 10 yet. I know. I don't know how old he is, but I know he's older than that. But my point is, all these young boys and young ladies, it ain't going to be too long. They're going to be interested. Amen. And let me just go ahead and say it. Like he said, it is natural for a boy to like a girl and for a girl to like a boy. Not the other way around. Amen.
Amen.
But pray. Ask God to direct you. Ask. Too many people have chose their future bride by the outward adorning rather than the meek and quiet spirit. And it got them in trouble. Not saying God can't turn things around for you, but I'm saying it'll get you in trouble if you're looking for the wrong one. I told John before he married Jessica, I said, buddy, she's independent, she's stubborn, she's just like her daddy.
Yeah.
Amen. I said, you're going to have to be a man. I said, don't mistreat her now, daddy will come looking.
Amen.
But you're going to have to be a man, because that's what it's going to take. Amen. I had another young couple, a man come and talk to me before he got married to this girl. And he was telling me some things. And I said, well, I said, the best thing I know to tell you. And I said, I can't tell you how to do it. But I said, the best thing that I know to tell you is, if you can't make some of those changes now, you better not say I do. When you say I do, you don't think you're going to change everything then.
That's right.
It ain't going to happen.
No, sir.
Amen. It ain't going to happen. Well, let me get off now. That was, thank you for the liberty. Amen.
Amen.
But when you're going to look for you a mate, you better look according to what this Bible says. And let me back up just 1 minute real quick. And young ladies, don't go get you a wimp.
Amen.
Get you a man. Somebody that's willing to stand up for you. Somebody that's willing to love you. Somebody that's willing to take care of you. If they expect you to go to work, amen, and provide for them, then get rid of their sorry case and get somebody else, amen. We call them real go-getters, amen, back in Kentucky. Takes her to work and goes back and gets her, amen. Get you somebody that's going to love you and take care of you. Amen. Well, let me go on now. He said, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. This is God's order now. Ephesians 5. It's dealing with Christ and the church. But he illustrates it by the husband and the wife. Get a hold of this. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, let me just stop here and say this, interject this real quick, before we get too critical about our wives not being in subjection to us. Let's check out our lives and see how much we're in subjection to Christ.
Right.
Boy, I didn't get but two amens on that. See, it's real easy for us to tell our wives when they ain't in subjection, but how much are we in subjection to the Lord? And that's really what he's trying to get across to us here. But he's using that husband and wife as an example. He says, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Here it is. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now that don't mean you're just willing to die for her. Y'all fixing to get married? It don't mean that you're just willing to give your life. You're willing to step in front of her if somebody comes up to attack her. That ain't what that means. Christ did give his physical life for us, but he also gave everything that he had for us. He gave up his riches.
Yes, sir.
He gave up his purity, his sinlessness. He took our sins upon him. Now, he didn't sin. Amen. He was willing to step in our place and do everything that we needed. He came for us. He's coming back for us. He's gone to prepare a place for us. Amen. To be with us for all eternity. Amen. If you don't have any intentions of being with your wife for all eternity, then just quit. Amen. Stop before you ever mess up. Now, I know there's no marriage in heaven. That's not what I'm getting at. But this Bible says, till death do us part. Amen. It teaches that. It don't say that word for word. But he said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Husbands, do you realize you have a way to help your wife be sanctified? I'm not talking about to God. I'm talking about to you. I mentioned it earlier. If we treat them like we maybe treat somebody else, they might fall back in love. Can I say it that way? Amen. If they see how we're always doing something for somebody else, but we're never doing something for them, we're never yielding ourselves to them to prove our love to them. You know, I hope nobody here has got that mentality. I tease about it, but I hope nobody here has got that mentality that you told your wife you loved her on your wedding day and that's the last time you've told her. But that is really kind of how we act sometimes. He says, sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. We don't want our wives all messed up. We don't want our wives cheating on us. We don't want our wives honky-tonking in the world. Why should we give them any leeway to do so? Why should we give them a cause to do so? Too many people, and I'm pretty firm on it, but I'll give a little bit of leniency, but I believe if the husband and wife are treating one another according to this word at home like they ought to be, then they'll not be looking for another somewhere outside the home. Amen. He said that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Just as the Lord has taken care of us, you ought to take care of your wife. Amen. My wife don't ask for much. I could probably, honestly, as far as, and I'm not saying that they're wrong things, but as far as selfish things, when I say that, just things for herself, my wife probably not asked me for 10 things in 30 years of marriage. Honestly, she's got the checkbook, she's got the debit card, and she's got a credit card. If she wants it, she can go get it. But she's the one that wants to save the money, pinch the pennies, amen, and fuss at me for spending it because I'm going to be the one that spends it. Amen. Or give it away, one of the two. but she don't ask for anything. Ladies, remember that. But husbands, also be willing to do what you can for your wife. Just as Jesus has been so good and benefited and blessed us, so should we, our wives. Amen. He said, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. It's a joint function. As the wives submit to the husbands, and as the husbands love and give themselves for the wife, that becomes a connection that is probably unbreakable.
Yes, sir.
And the reason why I say probably is because I know we're still in this simple flesh. But it's probably unbreakable. Amen. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And ladies, that's not a degradation for you. God made you that away. I wish that I could take the time tonight and just explain to you just a few things about how God has especially made you so that you can be used where men cannot be used. God has given you a special privilege in serving Him and living for the family, taking care of the home. I mean, all of these things. While the man is to provide for the home, take care of the wife, and those things. But God has given you a special grace and a special duty. Amen. It's not because you're a weaker vessel in the sense that you could not do some things, but God don't expect you to do those things. God's given you something better to do. And the man needs to man up, for lack of a better way of saying it, and do what he's supposed to do. Take care of you. And he says, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Men, it don't do you a bit of good to fall down on your knees and pray unto God if you are not right with your wife. Your prayers are hindered. If you're not giving her the honor and you're not dwelling with her according to the knowledge that God expects you to, you're not going to get a prayer answered until you pray for forgiveness. Amen.
Yes.
He said that your prayers be not hindered. I'm going to stop there. I'm not going to get into the children and fathers and servants. But listen, husbands, we're to love our wives. Now, I didn't say everything I said this morning about that, so if I didn't say it but once, maybe my wife and daughter will forget it, but... No, all joking aside, it don't hurt you to wait on your wife a little bit.
Right.
I know lots of, I didn't say every day. God give her to you to be a helpmeet. But He also give her to you for you to honor. Amen. And although the wife has not the final authority in the home, that does not mean that the wife shouldn't be consulted about some things. Amen. God, I'm going to tell on him. He might not want me to tell this. But Brother Hyatt told me several years ago, he said, your wife keeps you in balance. Buddy, I can get off her. I'm just telling you. I can get pretty strong and pretty strict real quick. But she helps me have a little bit of a alternate perspective.
Yes.
Well, what about this? Now, if it still don't match up, then so be it. I'm going to do what I feel like is right to do. But if it matches up and seems like that would be right, I'm going to go with it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I would hate to think that, and I've seen it in my life, but I would hate to think that God would say something to a wife to help you to see something that you need to see in that manner. And because she's a woman and you're the man, you ignore it and then you get out of sorts with God. It happens. It happens. Too many times we think it's egotistical is what it is. But too many times we think just because we're the man that we always know what's right. And that's not always the case. Maybe 99.9% of the time, but not 100% of the time. But I will say this, we are the last and final authority in the home. And God's going to hold us accountable for whatever decision is made. All right? So husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And I promise you, the home life will get a little sweeter in this journey. Father, take the word of God. Use it for your honor and your glory. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Appreciate the good word, huh?